Good morning, Apes. Hope everybody is doing phenomenally well and that you all had a wonderful holiday weekend with St. Patrick's Day, second best holiday of the year, behind only the 4th of July, if you ask me. But unfortunately, it is Monday. We are back to business, back to reality, and most important, back to markets. Welcome to the Daily Fields video stream. We are coming at you guys a little bit later today, but much more professional. Check out the new setup we got going here. Anybody who watched the last video knows about my struggles with our camera tripod recording thing. I don't know the terminology to use, but turns out Jeff Bezos did rob me of my original one. I know he's been selling Amazon stock. He's probably going through some tough times, so it makes sense for him to need to rob me of my phone holder. Probably sold it on Facebook Marketplace. Can't really blame him. But, you know, he wasn't able to steal this one from me. I did get it. So we got a little bit more of a professional setup here. So I'm excited to get into it all here with you. As you guys know, it is the Daily Peel. We are going to be peeling back markets in about 10 to 15 minutes here, depending on how much of a yapping mood I'm kind of feeling like this morning. But, you know, obviously, like I said, it was a holiday weekend. We are wearing green to celebrate, also to celebrate the Celtics clinching a playoff spot. Not that that was ever really in question, but it's good to have it finally confirmed. Plus, we're wearing green to match the gains of the market today. We are off to a very hot start this week. There's some big news from Apple and Google that we'll be talking about in tomorrow's peel, so stay tuned for tonight's video as well. We're going to be releasing these videos in the evening once I finish writing them before they get sent out. So if you want a sneak peek before the actual peel hits, definitely feel free to check out the channel later on today. All right, a lot of stuff to get into here. First and foremost, consumer spending. We got a retail sales report last week that we still haven't talked about because we've been on some other bullshit in the meantime, but obviously want to go over that stuff because consumer spending does drive about two-thirds of the U.S. economy, so we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. Apparently, we learned last week it is possible for tech stocks to have bad earnings. We're going to go ahead and take a look at a lot of the stock movers of the day. We also might have found the next NVIDIA for you guys, so feel free to stick around and hear our thoughts on that. Then, of course, finally, everybody and their mother has been talking about the TikTok bill lately. We actually went in and looked at the TikTok bill. I know that that sounds absolutely insane, but yes, we actually did take the time to go ahead and read it. I'm not going to sit here and act like I read the entire thing. I skimmed it, took out some of the important parts, and then used Control-F, one of the greatest inventions in all of human history. It's up there with the discovery of fire and fucking gravity. I mean, I'm sure Isaac Newton would have appreciated it more than gravity himself, but we started to understand the bill a little bit more in-depthly, so of course want to talk about that here with you guys. But before we get into it all, obviously we have the market snapshot. So WSO Alpha went into this holiday weekend on a very sour note. We lost about 80 basis points on Friday, which was underperforming the S&P's loss of 65 basis points, but still held up a little bit better than the NASDAQ's loss of 96 basis points on the day. We are seeing about a 7.27% return for 2024 so far, putting us just under the S&P 500 at 7.89%. That won't last very long. Like we always say, beating the S&P 500 is one of the easiest things that I've ever done in my life. Beating the S&P, I mean, it's almost as easy as beating a puppy, quite honestly. So we should be back on top relatively soon. The NASDAQ, a little bit more challenging. They're up about 8.18% on the year. We're right on their tails. I mean, still within the 1% mark. So remember, guys, we use kind of a quasi-combination of the two as our benchmark. Not that anything is really official, but definitely stay tuned for us to start beating those. Then, of course, finally, Bitcoin and Ethereum, they kind of detracted from the portfolio. They weren't a big help over the last week or over the end of the last week because we did see Bitcoin fall once again below those all-time highs. We are now back below 60,000. We're even below that very nice line of 69,000. Back at currently trading at $67,413, with ETH approaching back below the $3,500 mark at $3,522 right now. So these things are starting to sell off. You know, it seems like a lot of the hype over the past couple of weeks is wearing off, but showing that Bitcoin was able to surpass its previous all-time high is a decent proof of concept that it actually does have the potential to run to 100,000. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. All right, let's go ahead and get into some of the banana bits for the day. There is a big question looming over the FOMC to hold or not to hold, to cut or not to cut, to let the balance sheet run off or not let the balance sheet run off anymore. There's a lot of questions going on. They are very worried if they start to tighten too soon, we're going to see a repeat of inflation just like we did back in the 1980s. That is easily the most important question or most important chart on Wall Street right now. Then, of course, investments in clean energy. This is actually starting to beat out that of fossil fuels. You know, over the past couple of years, Greta Thunberg has been lecturing the entire world about how we need to just stop oil and whatever. And I guess we're taking global climate policy from a Swedish teenager is probably, you know, not a great idea. But it seems like these companies are actually starting to move in her direction. So what we've been hearing since, you know, literally like Vietnam, basically, we've been hearing that these companies are going to start to invest more in renewables. That hasn't actually started to happen until about 2022, 2023. We started to see investments in renewable energy drastically outpace that of fossil fuels and more traditional energy sources. Greta Thunberg's throwing a birthday party over it. You guys are all invited. I'm sure you'll want to go there. Maybe we can protest and throw soup on some painting in her house and really get her back for that. But anyway, then of course we had elections in Russia, quote-unquote elections, I should say, because Vladimir Putin won about 88% of the vote. There was immediately protests all across Russia storming the streets outside of these election or voting offices, quote-unquote, to express their dismay with Putin entering his 25th year. That officially makes Vladimir Putin the longest ruler of Russia in the past 200 years. He just passed Joseph Stalin, a great role model, great guy to be looking up to and comparing yourself with. So Vladimir Putin back on top once again. All right, but let's go ahead and get into some of the big stories here today. First and foremost, we're going strong. Consumer spending is working hard. You guys are out here contributing to the economy, donating to the economy, and maximizing that shareholder value. As always, we wouldn't expect anything less. But it was good to see that it still held up relatively well in February. So retail sales data, we saw an increase of 0.6% in terms of overall spending from January into February. So we saw retail sales increase 0.6% in terms of that headline number. Now, the more important number is if we strip autos out of it, because autos are a very big ticket item, so they kind of weigh it quite a bit more. We saw an increase of 0.3%, which is not a lot, but once again, relatively strong. So it's not exactly a bad thing, especially considering that January, we declined 1.1%. Now, it's also not unusual to see a decline in spending in January compared to the month prior, because everybody is buying presents in December, and that's where American materialism really peaks. So it's not really too much of a surprise to see that. We're glad that it wasn't a systemic issue, because if we continued into detracted spending into February, that's where we would have become nervous. But we saw an uptick once again. The worst part of the report, just like the jobs report, was that January number, because it actually got revised down from the originally reported 0.8% decline to a 1.1% decline. So that was probably the worst part, but once again, we saw it pick right back up in February, and it looks like consumers overall are doing pretty good. Alongside the retail sales reports, we've got a lot of data from Bank of America. They are showing that checking and savings balances for all age groups, pretty much all consumers, are still well above their pre-pandemic savings. They previously estimated that we've burned through about 60% of our excess savings so far. Now, calculating excess savings, it's not really a real thing like what's his name said in The Wolf of Wall Street. It's all in the Fugazi, right? And although we can't necessarily calculate it, it's very clear that consumers are still doing good. Anybody that's been outside and touched grass over the past couple of weeks sees that people are out here spending. If you've been to a bar, especially over this past weekend, they were absolutely packed. If you tried to get into Irish Pub in America, there was at least a 45-minute to an hour wait, I'm sure. But, you know, if you're traveling, if you're going to airports or anything, it's busy. People are out here spending money. So don't discount that anecdotal data. Don't discount your own anecdotal data, because what you see generally for the most part is going to be true for most people. So the data is suggesting that consumers are well. Anecdotally, we're seeing consumers do pretty well. So it seems like things are going pretty well still in the United States. I keep trying to think of some cool guy contrarian take to have here, but there really hasn't been a whole lot of bad data to make us get worried so far. Now, the only thing to look forward to going forward is as inflation continues to lower back down to that, you know, sub 3% range, and that while the jobs reports continue to come in relatively strong, they've gotten pretty boring. You know, it was basically the monthly economic Super Bowl reports over the past couple of years for CPI and the jobs report to see how everything was going in the post-COVID environment. Now it seems like they're starting to normalize, get back to pre-pandemic trends. So obviously that's much more boring. And the more impactful economic condition is consumer spending. So don't be surprised if that starts to take a bit of the forefront. Now, consumer spending is largely determined by inflation and by the labor market, but still, seeing this outcome is going to be more important going forward. So be on the lookout for retail sales and any other consumer spending reports. Otherwise, keep going out there, donating to the economy. You know, we love to see you guys waste your money on random shit you don't need. That's the way that America moves forward. It's the most patriotic thing you can do. Let's go out there and waste money for somebody else's shareholder value. That's what we're all about here in the States. All right, now let's go ahead and move on to some of the big stock movers of the day. Did we find the next NVIDIA? I mean, if anybody out here is still buying NVIDIA, I honestly feel bad for you. It's kind of like buying the Dutch East India Company or something. It's so yesterday's news. But the next one, we have Giga Cloud Technology. This is a company, they do basically parcel management technology. It's a software as a service company, that's SaaS market. Basically, what they do is provide a range of different technological solutions for parcel companies. Think UPS, think FedEx, think that kind of shit. And they specialize in very large parcels and kind of shipping those around the world, essentially. Demand for large parcel merch has absolutely mooned. GigaCloud saw a 95% revenue jump as of their last earnings report. They dominated expectations overall. Definitely don't sleep on this one because it has been ripping lately. Potentially the next NVIDIA. We'll see if we can get it in the alpha portfolio. Definitely stay tuned for that. All right, then Fisker actually had a relatively solid day on Friday. I didn't realize that was possible anymore because these guys are knocking at the door of the bankruptcy office in New York City. They are absolutely on the edge of their seat in terms of financial position. I think they're down another 20, 30% here this morning already. So we'll be talking about them once again tomorrow. It seems like we're going to talk about them pretty much every day until they actually fully go BK or kind of turn around and survive, get some equity or debt financing. But this is something we're definitely going to be on the watch for. It could be the start of the zombie apocalypse in the EV market. It certainly seems like that. But they do plan to raise funds. They're down a shit ton here today. So stay tuned for tomorrow for the latest update. But it was good to see them have a good end of the week, especially going into the holiday. Adobe. We talked about Adobe in a previous video. So go check that out where we break down the company's earnings reports a little bit more in-depthly. But the stock fell 13.7% on the day because, you know, earnings weren't necessarily horrific, but it was that guidance that was really bad. They're projecting a decline in EPS, sales growth that's going to be lower than inflation, so really nothing to get excited about there. Plus, it seems like individuals are starting to question Adobe's commitment to the AI race. You know, originally it was thought that they would be a great benefactor, but if we sit and think about it for another 5 minutes or so, you realize that AI can pretty much do everything that Adobe, Photoshop, Creative Cloud, pretty much everything that those do or allow graphic designers to do. Artificial intelligence systems can already do it. And, you know, imagine what they can do in the next year, 2 years, 5 years. I mean, by then, we're probably all going to have Neuralinks in our brains and we won't even need any of this anymore. But still, Adobe might be killed by AI rather than the AI killer. So definitely something to be on the lookout for. And once again, go check out our video. We are linked to it in the piece. Or, you know, if you're watching this, you're already on YouTube. So just go to the channel. You'll find my ugly ass face on there and go ahead and click into that one. All right. And then Ulta Beauty. This is a company that's been doing pretty well over the past couple of years. They have a Target partnership that's been absolutely mooning for the stock because, you know, putting it in front of the actual shoppers themselves rather than just online stuff seems to have been a good strategy for Ulta Beauty. Now, sales for the makeup company grew about 10% in 2023. It was a relatively strong performance, but they're expecting to slow down in 2024. Now, to try to compensate for that, they are doubling their share repurchases from $1 billion in 2023 to $2 billion in 2024. Still wasn't enough to get the market excited. They fell 5.2% on the day. All right, then the fun story of the day, TikTok. And I am not saying that like the app or like that amazing Kesha song. I'm saying TikTok like the clock itself, because time is running out for the app TikTok in the United States. Over this past weekend, on Sunday, we saw National Security Advisor for the White House, John Kirby, go on ABC News and basically say, the Senate needs to hurry up. The Senate needs to take a look at this bill because the House of Representatives already passed it. 5.4 times as many people voting to approve the bill than disapprove it. We had a vote of 352 to 65. So clearly the House of Representatives is very on board for forcing the sale or banning outright TikTok. Now, the ban isn't really an option. I'm just going to let you guys know that is not what's going to happen. There's either going to be a divestiture or this bill isn't going to go through. Now, if we look at the rhetoric among lawmakers, it's very clear that they want this bill to go through. Now, most of you out there probably disagree because I bet you were on TikTok just a couple of minutes before this. There's 170 million Americans that currently use the app, and that makes it about the fourth or fifth most popular social media app in the country, depending on what you count as social media apps. But, you know, everybody calls it the TikTok ban bill, but that really is not at all what this bill is actually doing. So what they're doing is not targeting TikTok specifically. They are setting up a totally new kind of qualification or classification of company in the United States, and that's called a FACA, or a Foreign Adversary Controlled Application is what's defined in the bill. This is in the first couple of pages, so it didn't take me very long to read it to actually find it. But essentially, a Foreign Adversary Controlled Application is something that meets one of the next four qualifications here. So it's either owned by a company that is domiciled, incorporated in, or subject to the laws of an adversarial country. It is at least 20% owned by a company that fits that first qualification, that is domiciled in an adversarial country. Or three, it's subject to the direction or control of a foreign person or entity. Pay attention to that phraseology because it's going to be important for a second. And the fifth qualification is if the president believes that this FACA is a significant threat to the national security of the United States. Now, just to make clear, there are four official adversaries to the United States, and that is China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. So this doesn't apply to any other countries or any other application that's coming out of a different country. It only would have to be owned by one of those things. But the language of that is incredibly broad. I mean, this is the least surgical, the least precise way they could have done it. So a lot of people are starting to call this thing the Patriot Act 2.0, because this allows Congress and the president a ton of power over what social media applications you're allowed to use. You know, just for an example, completely random off the top of my head that I just thought of right now, let's say some billionaire rich guy who, you know, owns another company wants to buy or launch his own social media app. So he purchases one of the most popular social media apps in the United States, starts to make a lot of changes that the current administration has actively said that they are against and that they want to look into him. And then let's say that a large part of the guy's business that he originally started is based in China. Like, what if he had, you know, again, just completely making this up, but like an electric vehicle production facility in Shanghai or something like that. That could very well be argued to fit the qualification of under the direction. The exact language is under the direction or control of foreign persons or entities. So it would be very easy for any governmental administration to argue that this billionaire rich guy is under the control, or at least not even the control, under the direction of an adversarial country. So, you know, I just made up that example completely off the top of my head. I know there's nothing like that that exists in the world right now, but that is just one way that this kind of a bill could be abused. So it's extremely broad in its language, but I think it's representative of an even deeper problem, and that is the trend of Congress to lately just kind of run these big, giant, overreaching bills and be kind of speeding them through Congress. Like, nobody actually sat down and read this thing before they voted on it. The House of Representatives, I think they took about 5 minutes. I probably spent more time talking about it here than they did in the House of Representatives to vote on this thing. So it's overly broad and nobody is actually reading it. And that's exactly what happened with the Patriot Act following the attacks on 9/11 in 2001. And it gave very overly broad powers to the intelligence community in the United States. We are a little bit worried that that's going to be happening again. But it's these kind of very expansive bills that are just being rushed through in a reactive, emotional kind of way, and that is becoming a real problem. It's symptomatic of the budget bills that we've been doing lately as well, because we used to have, you know, 12 individual spending bills that the House would take the time to vote on and actually make sure we're appropriating funds in the most efficient way possible. Now it's omnibus stopgap bills. It's nobody can agree on anything. So the legislative process in the United States is under attack, and this is just one of the examples of it. I know I'm yapping here, I know I'm rambling, but this is the kind of thing that we should be paying attention to, is how these laws are actually enacted in the country. So maybe if we all just take a deep breath for a second, try to understand the language of these bills a little bit more, we can get more surgical and we can all live happily ever after. Our questions here is TikTok going to be banned or forced to sell? No, it's not going to be banned, but it might be forced to sell. Which company would be the lucky winner? Is it going to be, you know, one company like Microsoft? Maybe it's Oracle, because they already said that they would move all of their servers to Oracle. Or maybe it's some sort of a consortium that owns a shared trust so that, you know, we're not advantaging one social media company or one tech company over another. What if they sold it to something like J.B. Hunt or something completely random, like a trucking company? That would be pretty hysterical. Personally, I'm kind of on board for that. But anyway, final question of the day. How is this going to alter user experience? There's 170 million Americans on it. Quite a few are making a living on the app itself. So what happens to these people? Unemployment's going to go up potentially. We'll see what goes on there. But that about does it for us today. Of course, we have a quote from Mr. John D. Rockefeller to end off the day. I don't really remember why I went with Rockefeller. Oh, because, you know, we're talking about banning companies. Nobody knows banning companies or breaking up companies more than John D. himself, the Standard Oil monopoly that got broken up back in about 1911, or back in the day around that time period. Mr. Rockefeller said, "I would rather earn 1% of 100 people's efforts than 100% of my own efforts." He might have said that, but I bet he doesn't believe that. As the richest person in the history of America, you know, I'm sure he would rather keep 100% of his own money than 1% of 100 people. I mean, imagine if Bill Gates said that today, if he would rather have the hundreds of billions of dollars that he has or 1% of the net worth of your parents, my parents, and all the other random ass Americans out there. I think he might reconsider that statement. But like I said, guys, that about does it here today. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to go eat this banana because we just peeled back markets, and I'm in a very peeling mood here. I'm not going to eat it on camera and give you guys that meme format to go with, but we will see you guys tomorrow. Definitely stay. Actually, I'm going to see you later this evening. So stay tuned. Be on the lookout for that video. And otherwise, happy investing, happy trading. Thanks, apes. Bye now.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick at wallstreetoasis.com. Until next time.